St. Mark the Evangelist, pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, today is the last of our school day high masses for the end of this Lenten term. And, of course, you'll be back with us again on Thursday and Friday and Saturday for the long masses of the Holy Week. But today is the last of our regular school days, isn't it? And the last day, the older boys from the school are helping the fathers to sing the Lenten Vespers before lunch. Well, God bless all of you for everything that you've done, the young ladies and the children of the choir and the altar boys, for all of the service that you have rendered to our Lord. You're a bit like that wonderful saint we hear so much about these days, Mary Magdalene, pouring out the precious perfume that is a wonderful fragrance at our Lord's feet to worship him, to honor him with all that you have. But you should also thank God, all of you, for what you've learned this Lent, for what you've been able to give to God this Lent. And of course, there's more learning and there's more giving awaiting us, isn't there? All the way through Holy Saturday and the resurrection of our Lord from the dead. Now, today's epistle, contrary to what we generally get, is actually a very short one. But this short epistle from Jeremiah the prophet in the Old Testament helps us to understand the long gospel that follows when Father chants the Passion according to Saint Mark. That's the second of the four passions. The symbol of Saint Mark is, of course, a lion. And you can see that right over there because it's his statue is too high for us to have been able to cover, at least this year anyway. And so St. Mark, with his quill to write with, the feather, and then his scroll, and then the lion who's sort of tucked behind him, is quite out in sight. St. Mark's symbol is the lion, but Jeremiah says that our Lord is going to die these days like a lamb. And what's a lamb known for? At least symbolically in the Bible, I mean. A lamb is known for being meek. And our Lord, every first Friday, tells us that same story, doesn't he? He says, learn from me. All of us are students, no matter how old we are. Learn from me. I am meek and humble of heart. What does meekness mean? Remember, to be meek means that you don't give way, give in, get excited when somebody provokes you. It modifies or moderates our reaction to what somebody else says to us or does to us. In other words, if you're meek, it's not that you're a coward, that you just don't say anything at all because you're afraid. No, when you're meek, you're strong, like a lion. You're showing the strength of self-control. Our Lord said that, and we should imitate our Lord in all things. Our Lord said, nobody takes my life away from me. No, I lay it down myself. And our Lord decides when he's going to do that. In other words, you bad people, you old sinners, you can't trick me. Nope. You can't force me. Nope. You can't push me into offending God by committing a sin of, say, losing my temper or fighting and saying something mean or hurtful back again just because someone did it to me. No, you can't. I'm stronger than that. I have the strength of a lion that's all packed up inside of a little lamb, the great Lamb of God, our Lord. It's only the strong people that can walk away. It's the weak ones who have to get the last word. And if somebody shoves you, well, then you have to shove them back, don't you? If someone says something mean, you have to say something mean back again. But that's not our Lord's way. That's not the way of the Lamb of God, who's the King of Kings. Now, in today's Passion, we start with that same story, which, as I say, we have so often, and it's a good story to hear because it tells us about what we do during Holy Week. this time the story of our Lord's feet being washed and anointed with the holy oil takes place in the house of Simon the leper. He was a Pharisee, which meant that he didn't like our Lord, not very much. And he invited our Lord to dinner, remember, but when he came in, he insulted him in a very serious way, which would have embarrassed anybody else. Only our Lord, being our Lord, didn't mind. He didn't blush or say something rude back again. You see, back then, if you had guests that came to your house for dinner, you didn't just say, well, the door's open, come on in. You met them at the door, and you would greet them with a kiss, the way some people still do. They kiss somebody on the cheek to say hello. They would greet them that way, and then they would have them come in, and they would show them where they could sit down in a place of honor. And then, and this was very special to what they did back then, but that's why we do it now, this week, they would wash the feet of their guests, because usually you wore open-toed sandals and your feet would get dirty and those little annoying pieces of gravel or sand would get between your toes, and that could you wouldn't be so comfortable. So the polite thing to do would be to wash their feet. But that's usually just done by slaves. But the host, the one who's inviting, he would do that as a sign of saying, you're really my friend, and I think very much of you, so I'm actually going to wash your feet. And that's one of the reasons why we have the washing of the feet on Thursday before we go home at the end of our Holy Thursday morning services. Only Simon didn't do that to our Lord. He wanted to insult him. But our Lord turned it into a good lesson for all of us. And then Mary Magdalene, she makes it up to Christ, of course. She pours out the perfume. And then St. Mark just says, he's very discreet, he just says, some people were complaining about Mary Magdalene wasting all that perfume on Christ when it could have been sold for the poor. He doesn't say that it was actually the apostles. He just says, some people. But we know that Mary Magdalene was getting our Lord's body ready for burial. It was a Holy Week work because there wouldn't be enough time on Good Friday between our Lord's death and sundown for the anointing to take place, because everything had to be finished very quickly, because you had to have the dead people buried when the sun went down, because that was a special Jewish law. And so St. Mary Magdalene was inspired to do it early in advance. In the meantime, Judas, the story and the passion goes on. Judas betrays our Lord for some money, because that's one of the things that he's really after. And then we have the story about getting ready for the Last Supper and cleaning the room and setting the table, making it all very nice indeed. And then the Last Supper, and then our Lord going out to the agony in the garden and praying with his apostles, and how they fall asleep, and then how our Lord gets arrested, and how he's put on trial, and how they insult our Lord, and our Lord's very meek. He doesn't say a word back again to them, and how St. Peter even denies our Lord, and then our Lord is taken off and put to death. And then the centurion, and he's a pagan Roman officer from the army, the centurion cries out, truly, this was the Son of God. He proclaims our Lord's divinity. And last of all, I want you to remember that before the long gospel of today is over, the man who wrote the gospel, who is St. Mark, and that's his statue, and he was an old man, tells a story. He didn't have to, but he's being humble. He tells a story about what happened when he was a very young man, when he first knew about our Lord. He knew about him, he listened to him, and he was a little bit of a follower of our Lord. And it was at his house that our Lord was praying. His parents had a big farm, and it was outside of town. It was called Gethsemane. And that's where our Lord used to like to go to pray, because it was very quiet and it was away from the city. And how St. Mark was in bed, the older students remember this story, how St. Mark was in bed and he was not sleeping yet, because he was all excited, because he could hear that something was going on in the garden nearby where his bedroom was. His window was open because it was springtime. And he could hear people coming and going, soldiers. And he thought, what's this all about? So he sneaks out of bed, he climbs out the window, and he goes into the bushes to spy, to see what's happening, and he sees it's our Lord. And he knew our Lord, of course, because his parents were dear friends of our Lord. And he sees that our Lord is going to be arrested and carried off by the soldiers. And he's just wondering to himself, what should I do? Should I try to save him or not? And just at that moment, one of the soldiers sees him spying on them from the bushes, and he lurches at him to grab him. Only St. Mark, instead of being brave and getting arrested with Christ, runs away. He doesn't have enough courage. And the soldier grabs him by his pajamas and rips them off, and St. Mark runs away without his pajamas, quite naked, back to the house as fast as he can go. Now, that would be an embarrassing story to tell about anybody, wouldn't it? But St. Mark put it down because he has to be humble like Christ and like St. Peter. And if you're humble children, you'll always stay meek. These are lessons we have each year, and they're beautiful stories. We should remember them and say a little prayer to the Lion Saint whenever you're tempted not to be strong. Be a lion yourself. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.